Minnesota listeners. Doug Padgett, it's Friday today. As you know, if you've been fighting through, if you're one of those like people that thinks about Friday as the end of the work week, then good for you. I'm not one of those. Hunter, are you one of those people that considers Friday the end of the work week?
I don't think the work week ever ends for me.
That's how I feel about it too. Just hardworking guys at it constantly, aren't we?
Yeah.
Just feeling sorry for ourselves over here.
Nope. I love it actually.
I do too. I like my work.
Me too.
I like the work. But anyway, for those of you who don't, or just, I don't know, like to consider the end of the work week, congratulations. You've made it again to the end of a work week. For those of you that start work on like Thursday, hang in there. It's a long weekend. I think about those people all the time when all the rest of the society says the end of the work week. But it is Friday and the sun is out. Man, if you are outside today, it is a day. I just really hope you're enjoying every living moment of it. It's a lovely, lovely day out there. And, if you're, somebody's not a fan of, I don't know, mid-40s, melting snow, big bright sun, big clear sky, stay inside today because that's what it's like outside.
This is such a treat. It's spring. And remember last winter, how April dragged in, they had a blizzard at like April 20th or something. So spring took so long. We're getting a little taste of it in January. It's wonderful.
I know. It's a little nibble. It's like the chocolate celeste little Ooh. Bite. Just a little nibble. I was reading something about the weather because, you know, that's what middle-aged men do. They sit around reading about the weather on their iPads. But they were saying in reading about the weather, that last May, like the lakes were still frozen in May. I don't know if they Memorial Day or not, but it was something like this. Like the lakes were still frozen. And then it was 90 degrees. Mm-hmm. There might've been like a 90 degree day and the lakes were still frozen. Just some crazy weirdness. We should bring that up with the astrophysicist, Paul Wallace, this afternoon when he's on here after the, at the bottom of the hour, as they say in the broadcast business, he's going to be on. So I'm gonna do a little bit of a update in the second segment after the commercial break here in about 10 minutes. I'm going to talk about this. There was a police shooting in Minneapolis a while back. Travis Jordan was shot and killed by the police. It was one of those mental health calls. His family called for help. The police came. Travis came out of his house with a knife in his hand, and Officer Ryan Keyes and Neil Walsh shot him to death. And they were just, it was just announced that they're not going to press charges against them for this. And I'd like to talk about that in the second segment. So I've posted it on my Facebook feed over at Doug Padgett. If you're on Facebook, you can find it on the Star Tribune website. There's the body cam videos, so you can watch it happen and make your own determination about this. So I've got a big commentary about that that'll come up here after the break. So if you want to jump in on that conversation, I'd love to have your thoughts on it. 952-946-6205 in our second segment. So we're going to talk about that. It's big news in the state of Minnesota, and it needs to be big news anytime the police are involved in shootings and killings, and then especially in this one, the way this is played out. But before we get to that, a little bit of an update on the federal shutdown that's going on. One quarter, roughly, of the federal agencies. It's a little hard to determine how many employees there are or how much of the budget impacts what. But one quarter of the federal agencies are still shut down. That's going to start to have big impact here in Minnesota, specifically around the federally funded subsidies that go for people that receive what used to be called food stamps and it's now called SNAP, which is a cute acronym from the federal government. In fact, I think if owner Chad were giving this, every time he said SNAP, he would snap. Like, you know, SNAP construction ad. But SNAP is a really, really important federal program. It's the biggest part of the farm aid and the food aid that we give. It's one of the ways that we've decided in this country we're going to care for each other. And we're going to care for people when they need some food help. Well, the state of Minnesota receives a huge subsidy from the federal government to then distribute it through the state and county systems. That's going to run out of money in February. And Donald Trump, the president of these United States of America, has said that this shutdown could go on for months, maybe a year. or maybe we'll end it this weekend. Don't really know. Don't really care. And Hunter, I know you were working all day because you're a guy that works on Fridays. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw the press conference. The president came out and had former House Whip McCarthy standing behind him and took questions from the press and gave responses. I'm referring to his responses to the questions, not as answers to the questions, because I swear to all things that are good and right in the world, this guy is full on manic. If you know the term manic from mental health issues, sometimes people go through issues in their life where they're on really high highs and really low lows. And those kinds of swings are called manic movements, manic mental health movements, sometimes called manic depression. There was no doubt in my mind listening to Donald Trump today, he's in a manic episode. I don't take that lightly at all. I know a lot of people who deal with it. It's really significant. I'm not even using it as a metaphor. I think he's literally having manic episodes. His the way he phrases his statements, the pace that he answers, the way his mind jumps around from one thing to the other, the way it's delusional. It is a full-on manic responses to questions from the press. And I don't think this is too far from the reality that all the pressure that he's under and during this government shutdown, things happen to presidents during government shutdowns. You might remember there was a president back in the 90s named Bill Clinton, and he got into trouble with an affair that he had with an intern named Monica Lewinsky. Hunter, do you know when that happened? Do you know the circumstances surrounding Bill Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky?
Yeah.
It was during the government shutdown.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is the one of the reasons it all came. There's a whole lot that goes into this. But one of the things that was going on was the federal government then was shut down at an even greater percentage than what it's shut down now. But they weren't working in the same way. And employees, White House employees, had to go home. They were just kicking around the White House. That's what happened. Things happen to presidents during shutdowns. There's a lot of pressure, and all the normal systems that are in place sort of break. I think Donald Trump is having his own version of a breakdown. It's outrageous. If you watch that press conference, now for a lot of us, you can only get so much Donald Trump in your life, and you should just stay away from this press conference. But if you can bring yourself to it, it's unbelievable. It's about an hour long, and his answers to the most basic questions are irrational and disjointed from facts. Just a couple of examples. He goes on two riffs about tariffs. One of them in the new deal that's been negotiated with Mexico that he says, this is how we're going to pay for the wall. His argument is, no, I didn't break my promise about building a concrete wall and getting Mexico to pay for it. Even if the wall is not concrete, I mean, don't bicker over words, he wants to say. It could be steel slats or whatever. The big argument he tries to make is our new trade deal with Mexico is how they're going to pay for it. He believes that a trade deal that works out a different amount of tax that's applied to products sold in the made in Mexico or made in the United States, the taxes that consumers and businesses pay, is how he's going to pay for the wall. Saying that Americans paying more taxes on products made in Mexico or Mexican consumers paying more taxes or paying higher rates to companies, and then we're going to take the money from American consumers out of their paychecks in federal taxes, and that's how we're going to pay for it, that's the way he says that the Mexican government is paying for it, by putting taxes. The word tariff is just another word for a tax. It just means that it's a tax applied at the federal level to all products in a category. So the government of Mexico is not paying for tariffs. That's not what a tariff is. So he's trying to make the argument that the trade deal is the vehicle by which Mexico is going to pay for the wall. That would be like saying, hey, Hunter, I'm going to pay for the meal, but when we get to the meal, I'm going to actually need you to front me the money. And then a little while later, I'm going to charge you for something else. And when I pay you back for that, then we're even on the meal.
Now that sounds fun.
It's outrageous. He says it straight faced, and he says to the reporters, look, you don't even understand how this works. We've got tariffs now. Says the same thing about China. He was asked about China, as he says it. And he was asked about if he's worried at all about the huge stock market dip that happened because of Apple stock being devalued because it's not reaching these sales in China. And he said, no, I'm not worried about that at all because we have new trade deals with China and that they're paying. Now China is paying huge tariffs to the United States, and that's bringing in billions of dollars into the treasury. As if the government of China is paying money to the federal government in the United States via the tariffs. Tariffs mean that there's taxes on soybeans and steel and products. It doesn't mean that the government of China is paying anything. It's unbelievable to watch a president of the United States misunderstand basic economics or flat out lie about it. So I'm on a roll today. It was really, really disturbing to watch his explanation of why Mexico is going to pay for it through tariffs or why China is now paying the United States money because we now have tariffs on products that we're selling to China. And then the level to which he personalizes everything. I gave them a deal. I gave workers back their jobs. You're the president. You're fulfilling your job. It's unbelievable. He's in a manic episode. I don't think it's going to go well. But we hope it goes well for you. We're going to come back and talk about this police shooting in Minneapolis after the break. And then astrophysicist Paul Wallace. It's sort of a freaky Friday around all kinds of things going on. We'll be back here after the break. AM 950. Hey, Progressive there, Voice. Mister, can you tell me
what happened? Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking. Or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
You know how it is with vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, then you throw them away, right? Well, not necessarily. Often, fixing your vacuum can be cheaper than replacing it. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum in Roseville? They offer free estimates. So if you wish your vacuum worked like new again, drop by. A1 Vacuum is ready to help clean up your vacuum cleaner act. Find us at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Hey, welcome back. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett in. Thanks for listening today. Just want to catch up real quick with Andrew in Golden Valley. I had a little commentary there on the current situation of the federal government and the President of the United States. Hey, Andrew, how are you thinking about this?
Hi. Well, I was just I just tuned in to what you were saying about Trump's rant, and it reminded me very much of the scene at the end of World War II where Hitler is in the bunker explaining to his generals that the Fourth Army is going to come in and take care of the Russians while the Third Army repels the Americans, and the generals are looking at him like those armies no longer exist.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Anyway,
that's probably one of the more adept references I've ever heard to the comparison. I think that's insightful. It happens to leaders. They can crack. Andrew, thanks so much for the call. Hey, Brenda, I know you wanted to get a word in too. I want to make some comments here about the police shooting, but how are you thinking about this?
I really think that you're onto something with the manic depression. I'm from a family that there have been a few, and I know it's a very difficult thing, but again, when you look at some of his tweets and he talks about the people wouldn't tolerate him being impeached, which I think he should be, but I guess that'll all happen if the Mueller probe proves out some of the things we expect it will. He's saying that like 90% of the people are with him and, all these grandeur type things, which we all know are not true. And so I really truly believe that this manic depression could very well be, which I thought from the get-go when he was running for president, that he was probably possibly manic, but also because of his delusional statements and stuff. So I really think that you're onto something there.
Yeah, I think so too. Thanks, Julie. I appreciate it. I'm not making light of that at all. I think it's a real issue. I think it's something that people deal with, they struggle with. There's no reason Donald Trump wouldn't be someone who struggles with that. But to watch it happen live on television and to see the more classic signs, I'm not a therapist or anything else, but I'm just somebody who's around enough people, and my work as a pastor and others, I see people who have different kinds of episodes at different places in their life, and I really think that's happening. Hey, Randy, I've only got a minute for you because I need to jump into another conversation here that I want to do about the police, but I do want to give you a chance to make a comment here.
Well, man, I'm really concerned about you because I think you got all the right answers. I think you just listened to the wrong speech. Sounds like you're listening to Governor Dayton's speech, because that's what I hear. What you're saying, that's exactly what I hear when I listen to Governor Dayton, not Donald
Trump.
Well,
it could
Trump.
Be true.
Donald, I, you know,
that could be
and
true.
I
don't know.
I mean, I know you can't stand him. I can't wait to vote for him for another 4 years. I think he's incredible.
I know. And I appreciate you listening, and I really appreciate it. Thanks, Randy. Thanks. I appreciate your call. All right. So you may have seen that there was an article in the Minneapolis Star Tribune today about charges not being brought against two police officers for the shooting and killing of Travis Jordan in North Minneapolis. It's a really, really heartbreaking story. The details of it, you can find it on the website. I also have it on my Facebook page if you want to read it. And there's a body cam video of what's going on there. Back in November, two Minneapolis police officers showed up at a house after the family called asking for a mental health check. And Travis Jordan was having a mental episode, according to the family. It's very clear episode to me of what you would call suicide by police. This is a phrase that's used when a person wants the police to shoot them and to kill them. Travis Jordan comes out of his house. He's carrying a knife. It's on the body cam videos. The police are telling him to put the knife down. He's saying to them repeatedly, "Let's do this. Let's do this." When they go in the house, after shooting him and killing him, they find a note that he'd written to the owner of the house apologizing that this had happened. The family wanted the police to come to protect him from himself. And what they did was they shot and killed him. It's a heart-wrenching story to read. They say to him repeatedly, "Drop the knife, drop the knife." He's carrying a long kitchen knife. He's within feet of the police officer, a number of feet, and he's not in arm's reach or anything. And the police make a decision to shoot him eight times. I think that's the number of bullets that they fired. You can watch it happen. And it was determined that this act was justifiable. The way it reads is, Officer Welsh and Keyes' use of deadly force was objectively reasonable in the face of the danger of death or great bodily harm, and no criminal charges could or should be made. That is a heartbreaking statement from Freeman, who would be the one to press charges. Here's the thing. It might be within the law, and it might be that there's no way to press charges if it could be determined that Travis Jordan's actions put the officers in harm's way. But if that's the law, we need to change that law. You watch that video, and I'm not bickering about should they be prosecuted or not, because it seems pretty clear. It seems Andrew Freedman is saying we cannot prosecute them according to this set of conditions that we see on the video. Then we need to change the law, because a law that allows for police officers, two of them, to fire multiple times into the body of a man who is clearly seeking mental health request and is clearly in an episode where he is going to harm himself, and for them to fire not into his leg, not into his shoulder, not one time. They didn't use a taser gun. They didn't use pepper spray. They didn't use any other means to disarm this man who is clearly having an episode in which he cannot understand what he is doing other than his own desire to die by police suicide. For them to then fire into his body multiple times in the chest, if that's considered legal. And I'm not arguing if it is. I'm granting that it is considered legal for police to act in such a way. But for that to be a legal action, we need to change that law. The burden needs to be on the police officers to not meet the minimum standard of, did you think you would receive bodily harm if you didn't fire deadly weapons in a deadly force action into the body of a person? They need to be held to a higher standard. Our laws need to be changed, and people need to cry out about this. The idea that, well, I mean, I know I'm idealizing when I was a child, but there was a whole thing about somehow I knew it as a child, between police officers distinguishing between shooting to kill and shooting to apprehend. And apparently, the law just grants that you can fire two police officers, one on the side and one in the front of Travis Jordan, both firing weapons into his body because he didn't follow their instructions to drop the knife. And he's saying to them, let's do this. Go ahead and shoot me. He's trying to provoke them into shooting him. Why they didn't use tasers? Why they didn't use pepper spray? There was nobody else in that scene that could have been harmed other than them and him. And he ends up dying because of it. We need different laws. We need different training. We need different expectations. It has to happen. The police have to have a different set of standards than what the law is currently required of them. We have to do something about this in this country. Police should not be killing and shooting people that need their help. This is AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Doug Padgett. Bug pill, a dose of dope, and a great big bill. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times in life?
This is Heartbeat for the Week. I'm Elizabeth Horeb, co-host of Connections Radio. And today I'll be letting you in on a couple of really great arts events in the area this weekend. The Tiny Funny Women Fest 2019 is happening this weekend at Huge Theater in Minneapolis. All day Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. and with a 1 to 3 p.m. potluck. Then Sunday they're providing a workshop from 2 to 4 p.m. called First Thought, Best Thought. Tiny Funny Women Fest aims to encourage and empower untapped improvisers. Everyone is welcome to join in the festivities. There are both women, femme-only centered ensembles, and all-gender workshops designed for improvisers of every age and experience level. There are also open lunches, a jam for women, trans, femme, non-binary folk, a showcase, and an award ceremony for an improv trailblazer. For more information, go to tinyfunnywomenfest.com.
This Saturday, catch the 1 p.m. screening of Antony and Cleopatra, hosted by the Minneapolis Film Society at the St. Anthony Main Theater. Broadcast live from the National Theater, Ralph Fiennes and Sophie Okonedo play Shakespeare's famous fated couple in his great tragedy of politics, passion, and power. Caesar and his assassins are dead. General Mark Antony now rules alongside his fellow defenders of Rome, but at the fringes of a war-torn empire, the Egyptian Queen Cleopatra and Mark Antony have fallen fiercely in love. In a tragic fight between devotion and duty, obsession becomes a catalyst for war. If you can't make it to it this weekend, catch it Monday at 7 p.m. or Wednesday at 1 p.m. Go to mspfilm.org to get more information. That's Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horub, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota-certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers, and they offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And right now, they're paying top dollar for your trade-in, even if you don't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hey, tune into the Norman Goldman Show, where justice is served live every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Today on the show, yes, it's Friday. It's our first Friday of the new year, but of course we'll have our regular features and what's going on with the government shutdown. There's late breaking news, is there? Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 40. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 29. Saturday, sunny with a high near 41. And Sunday, cloudy with a high around 34. Eat Local Minnesota is a resource to find truly independent Minnesota restaurants. Those restaurants feature high-quality food and unique eating experiences with great wines, local foods, microbrews, original dishes, vegetarian options, and much more. Find a full list of all those restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Hey there, AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota listeners. Doug Padgett back. Been an intense half hour already. Glad to have the astrophysicist Paul Wallace here. Get our heads out of the earth and up in the skies for a bit. Hey, buddy.
That's the deal. Hey, I'm good. You doing all right?
I'm doing all right. There was a police shooting last November here in Minnesota, and it's heartbreaking to me. So we're talking about that in the last segment.
I saw that. I saw that, and sorry to have seen it.
Yeah, it's really hard. I want to go to a place where that doesn't happen, Paul. How about if we go up to the back side of the moon?
The back side of the moon. Well, we won't be the first ones there.
No, not anymore. It used to be a thing we could have done. What we're talking about, if you don't know, Paul Wallace is an astrophysicist out of St. Agnes College in the Atlanta area. Agnes Scott College.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe one of these days I'll get your institution correct on one of these. It's a college of high academic learning for all people, including the women students there.
Especially the women. Yeah.
It's a college of women. How do you say it? It's women's college?
Women's college. That's correct.
And so if you're not familiar with Paul Wallace, well, I hope you will become because he's our Friday very often favorite guest here on the show. And what we were talking about there just a moment ago is that China, maybe because they've spent all their money now on paying the United States in their tariffs, could only afford to get their land, their moon rover on the backside of the moon.
They did it, man. It's up
there.
They did. At least I believe them. I mean, they say it's up there.
You know, that's a good point. See, now you become just a little hint of someone who might not believe in a moon landing if it was China and it's on the backside and we don't have a clear vision of it. All right. So, Paul, I regularly have you tutor me like I'm a freshman student in physics. And I realized what got me the other day about this whole backside of the moon thing is yes. I guess I assumed – and I'm going to sound like a fool again, but I guess I assumed that the moon was spinning in the same way the Earth is spinning.
Yes, it is, but...
Then why don't we see the backside of it ever? This is the part that's had me so confused.
Okay. This is a point where I wish I could draw a diagram for you because you would totally get it, but it does two things, right? It spins and it goes around the Earth.
Yes.
Does two things. It spins one time for every time it goes around the Earth. If it didn't spin, we would see all sides of it.
Yes. It's spinning at the same rate that it's orbiting the Earth?
Exactly.
What are the chances of that? Like, why
well,
is it...
there's a mechanism that causes that to happen. And in, I don't know how many billions of more years from now, the Earth will keep a face pointed towards the moon all the time, too. There's a mechanism called, it's called tidal, like, not tidal like Dr. or Mr. or Mrs., but tidal, T-I-D-A-L.
Like the tidal tides.
Locking. Yeah. Tidal locking, it's called. It happens all over the solar system. Jupiter's moons do it. Saturn's moons do it. Our moon does it.
It's like a moon to planet thing. There's some connection between the moon. Oh, see. Now this is where all the people who are always talking about, I have some people who are big into astrology, and which is the science version of the work you do, you know. And they'll often talk about when you were born, not just the date and the day, but where the moon was in relationship to the Earth on the day that you were born and the hour, not the hour, maybe even under the minute. And they talk a lot about this would be a word you would use, this tidal mechanism or this connection that's doing a certain kind of pulling on the Earth or the pulling on the moon. I don't know which is pulling which all the time. but they describe that as having an awful lot of power and influence. And I'm not asking you to chime in unless you want to on the power of the moon and the influence on our futures and personalities and all of that.
Sure.
But it seems like that's the same thing that they're talking about, that it's really powerful.
Well, it's powerful in a sense, but what I'm talking about is something you can actually sort of calculate, demonstrate, and predict. You know what I'm saying? It's not really a personality thing.
All right. I'll leave it at that. But there's power in that little tidal thing. Okay, so I'm still a little, I'll let it go, but I'm still a little iffy as to why, if I understand why the Earth or why the moon is rotating around the Earth and spinning at the same exact rate, so we never see the back half of the moon.
Right. That's a very common event. It happens all over the solar system. And the reason is because the Earth pulls on the near side of the moon stronger than it pulls on the far side of the moon.
I see.
Because the near side of the moon is closer, so the gravity there is stronger than it is on the back side of the moon.
That
doesn't explain it, but that's the basic fact that drives the whole thing.
Click clack. That got it for me. That clicked there.
Click,
I see.
Clack. Good.
Because what you're good. Okay, so this helps me. So the Earth is, and the force of the Earth on the moon is what's causing the moon to spin.
Yes. It's what's keeping its one face towards us all the time.
What causes the Earth
on the front of the moon than it does on the back of the moon, because the front of the moon is closer to us.
What causes the Earth to spin? The sun?
Well, it's always been spinning. Everything spins. This is a conundrum, but it's true. Okay. Everything, the Earth, the sun rotates about once a month.
But the moon,
all the planets spin, all the moons spin, all the asteroids spin, the galaxy spins.
There goes my click-clack understanding right now. Okay, so if the moon was spinning already, then it's like its spin has locked into the Earth's spin?
Yes, it used to rotate more quickly, almost surely, and over time it has slowed down to a point where it is now. And the Earth will eventually, if you know, the sun doesn't explode before this, the Earth would eventually slow down enough to keep one Earth face toward the moon all the time, too.
That's
in other words,
so
it would be mutual. It wouldn't just be one. It wouldn't just be the moon anymore.
Well, thank you. That did it for me.
Welcome.
I was all excited about there being a backside of the moon, and we don't know what it is. I mean, that was new learning for me a few months ago, and we started talking about China getting there. And then I started to think about it, and I was like, wow, it's amazing the things I don't know anything about, like why things in space are the way they are. So I'm glad to have an astrophysicist in my life.
I'm glad to help you. Glad to be here.
Thanks. Hey, what else is happening in the big news? This, I think we have a call. We may try a caller. You know, sometimes even though we can land a rover on the far side of the moon and we can shoot to nebulous Neum or whatever and take full photos, still not entirely clear that we can get a call on the line while we have an astrophysicist on. But we're going to try it, aren't we, Hunter? Are we going to give it a try?
Yes.
All right. Should we give it a try? Let's go to Paul from Edina and see what happens. Hey, Paul. Yeah, there it goes. Okay. Sorry. That was me. That's me talking over myself
we
again.
Still
Hunter.
Have Paul Wallace.
It's still not working. Yeah. I don't know if we still have Paul Wallace, but I have me now twice. Can you fix that? I do like listening to myself talk, but not literally right in my ears at the same time. All right, so we may have lost Paul Wallace. We're not going to take calls with Paul, which is killing me because I know people have these really great questions. Hunter, maybe you can grab their questions and then reiterate those to us until
that.
We figure out how to make our – when we have this connection with Paul, how we make a connection with the fantastic callers. So, Dr. Wallace, we're going to have Hunter take down some questions from some people and then be the one to present the questions to us. That's how we're going to do that. So,
hello.
All right. So I think Paul – I think Dr. Wallace is back. Hey, Paul.
I am back.
All right. Yeah, we tried tried to get a caller in, but you know, we are still having a little glitch in our system, a little hitch in our step when it comes to bringing in callers. But hey, so what else is happening in news? It's been every day the last 2 weeks. It's been huge news stories. My news aggregator is full under my astronomy section. Quite amazing.
Well, have you read the story about New Horizons, the probe that passed Pluto a few years back? And it's heading on out of the solar system. It has gotten very close-up photographs of the most distant, basically the most distant close-up images we've gotten of any object ever, period.
Wow.
And okay. It's this weird thing. You know,
this
we
is
were
the snowman-shaped
about,
thing, or the eight, the
the double thing. Basically, what it is, it's in the Kuiper Belt. You know, you've heard of the asteroid belt.
Yes.
The asteroid belt is between Mars and Jupiter. It's a bunch of rocks orbiting the sun. Out beyond Neptune, there's another belt of thousands upon thousands of objects out there that are mostly ice, and it's called the Kuiper Belt. But it's like an ice version of the asteroid belt out beyond Neptune. And this thing is one of those objects. And it is unusual in that it is not a single object, but it is clearly two objects which have impacted in one another, but more or less retain their shape. So it looks like, you know, a baseball stuck to a softball.
Yeah, yeah.
You
it's
know,
curious. And they
what
think
it looks
that.
Like.
What I read something that suggested that perhaps these were two different space objects that somehow got conjoined. Got pulled together. Is that what people are thinking?
Yeah, they almost certainly would have. That's one theory. Another one is there are plenty of asteroids that have moons. It's not an unusual thing to find double or triple objects that are asteroids or whatever. And it looks like this one is simply, you know, they had an orbit. They're orbiting one another, and they eventually just, you know, lost energy or ran by another object, and one of them ran into the other one, and they stuck together. But it was really low speed, because if it was a higher speed collision, they would have shattered each other. So they had to have just touched really gently together to not bust each other up.
And when they discovered this, what they have a name for that rock formation out there, right? Nebulous or something? Is that
Well, the official name is 2014 MU69, but they're working on that right now. Ultima Thule is what they are calling it.
Okay. That's classic. It's named like a Mazda. You know, Mazda always names their cars with those numbers.
Astronomers are really good with their names. Yeah.
Yeah, they drive Mazdas. I'd heard that the New Horizon was like, it was going out to, because it's just like, it's just flying out to space right now, right? Like it's just on its way.
Yep.
And they're like, you know, if we take a little bit of a detour, we can swing by this thing and catch a couple of pictures. Like that became a possibility, like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago or something. That's right.
Yeah. That's right. And I suspect it could happen again as it keeps moving out and, you know, finds more stuff out there. Cause there's all kinds of junk out there beyond Neptune and beyond Pluto now. So I suspect they may well find another one, you know, within lifetime of the probe.
Yeah, folks, hang with us. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Give us a call, 952-946-6205. Tell Hunter your question. He'll pass it along to the astrophysicist, and we'll get you in on this. We'll be back here after the break.
Total Dog Company is the destination dog food and gear store on the west side of the Twin Cities, with easy access off of 169. We have a growing group of loyal customers and increasing numbers of referrals from dog professionals and dog parents because we carry quality products, give sound advice, and are easy to do business with. Total Dog Company keeps up on the latest developments in dog nutrition and products. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Science is real. From the Big Bang to DNA.
Hey, welcome back, AM 950 listeners. It's Friday here on the 4 o'clock show. A little repartee on science, essentially astronomy. What's going on with our astrophysicist, Paul Wallace? Well, lots of things going on in the big news. Elon Musk firing things up. The Chinese landing on the backside of the moon. The New Horizons. Man, all kinds of things. What else is happening in the news that people should pay attention to?
Well, this is one item that's not particularly newsy now, but I did want to call our listeners' attention to the fact that there is a hexagon on Saturn.
<That's> so great.
It is huge. It is approximately 18 to 20,000 miles across. It is a perfect hexagon. It's not like, you know, just kind of if you blur your eyes a little bit, you can see a kind of a hexagon. This is an actual hexagon at the North Pole of Saturn.
Do you think it was the same aliens that created the pyramids and Stonehenge and all that? Do you think it's the same ones?
Yes, they're very geometry-oriented aliens.
Okay. What is a hexagon created by? What is that on
Saturn?
Well,
it's a matter of some debate among people who debate these things. And it has something to do with the fact that there's a vortex up there right at the pole, and the fact that it's got to be something. It's something atmospheric, is what I'm trying to say. It's certainly an atmospheric effect, but the details of that are debated by the debaters. But what I want the listeners to know is just that it really is actually a hexagon, and they should go Google it just to see it. I couldn't believe it when I first found out. It's been there for 40 years, at least.
You mean it's
back
not
in 38 years back in 1981 we discovered it.
It's not permanent. Like it's not something they discovered that's always been there. You're saying it came up at some point. Like I see it right there. Holy cats, boy!
Yeah,
you just go on
you,
Wikipedia
you,
and look at that thing. And it's right at the top. Like it's on the place where like if it was a top. If it was spinning, it's right. It sits right there.
Yeah, and it's huge. And what I was saying is that it has been there since at least 1981. That's when we first discovered it, and it's still there.
Oh, that is that thing. I mean, that looks like a city.
I know, it's weird. It looks artificial, doesn't it? Like somebody came in and designed this. You know,
what?
You know, some conscious intelligence came in and designed it as well. It's weird.
Absolutely, because the center of it has a little circle with like a little nipple in there that looks like just like it was the thing you would set a top on.
Yeah, there's a vortex there. You know, the wind is moving in a circle, but also away from the pole. But and I'm not sure how the hexagon is affected by that vortex, but it's something to see. I tell you.
It is, and I'm looking at it now, so this makes great radio, you know, two guys looking at a picture and talking about it.
Yeah.
So if people haven't looked at it yet, go ahead.
They should. We do have, and we can talk about this a bit more later on in the month, but we do have an eclipse coming up this month.
And that's something that a lot of us will be able to see, yes.
That we will be able to see here in America. We'll be able to see it. Yes, it won't be blocked by the Earth. And the press is all agog, and they're calling it a super blood wolf moon, which is kind of over the top. But
yeah, you mentioned that last week, and I've realized that in my mind, I now refer to you as a super wolf blood moon. That's just a term I have now for people.
Introduce me that way next week.
Yeah, the super wolf blood moon. There's already there are like how to prepare for this eclipse. So you really see it. There's a lot.
A
lot going on.
I think you need to get a bunker and a bunch of weapons, and you know,
food. Now this says that on January 6th there's a partial solar eclipse.
There's a partial one that we're not going to be able to see.
Okay.
It'll be partial. It'll be seen. I can't remember where, but not here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then a total solar
coming up in 2019 that we can cover.
A total solar eclipse in Chile and Argentina in July.
That's correct, on the 2nd of July. It'll be nice for them. And then there's an annular solar eclipse on Boxing Day, 12/26 of this year. An annular solar eclipse on the Arabian Peninsula, southern India, and Indonesia, but not for us. An annular eclipse is the when the moon is close is particularly close to the Earth in its orbit. I mean, when the moon is particularly far away from the Earth in its orbit, mm-hmm. and there's an eclipse, it doesn't cover the whole sun, and so you get sort of a ring of sun around the moon.
I've seen a video. They call it a ring of fire. Would that be right
yeah.
for the annular?
Right.
Yeah, yep. It's that is really a sight. I mean, I know that you were struck by the full solar eclipse and how powerful that one was, but that ring of fire, that's awesome. That's like someone's tattoo. You can get the ring of fire tattoo.
whatever you say, Doug.
Well, I don't know if you're thinking about a tattoo, anyone. Okay, hey, so the solar eclipse. Now, this has my imagination. The one on July 2nd, the total solar eclipse that people in parts of Chile and Argentina will be able to witness.
Yep.
Is that right. on scale with the one that was here a year or so ago that you saw and had such a life trend?
Yes, it'll appear similar to that. I'm not sure how it rates as far as length goes. It probably won't be quite as long. Most aren't, but it's a similar sort of event to what we had last, 2 years ago in 17.
Yeah, this says that it will last 2 minutes.
Yeah, that ours was a bit longer.
Yeah,
the longest that ours lasted was like two minutes and 40 seconds. So it lasted. It'll be a little shorter, but it'll still be wonderful for those folks down in South Asia and South America who see it.
Well, that's what raises my question. You having such a life transformative experience, do you have any plans to go to Chile or Argentina to try to behold that again?
You set me up with some money, I'll go.
Does that start rolling around in your thinking? Like, how do I find a way to have someone fund us to go to Chile and Argentina? So, I mean, I think we could do a 2-minute radio spot from there. That would be, just right up the alley.
There's going to be one in Texas coming up through Texas, Ohio, and up towards New England, and I think it's 2024.
Oh.
It's going to cross the country again, but sort of, again, from Texas up to Maine, basically. And I'm definitely going to travel to probably Texas.
Mm-hmm.
West Texas is the place where you're most likely to get clear atmosphere. So I'm definitely going to travel for that one.
Well, it's, all these solar eclipses, these rings of fire, these things on Saturn, they're part of what makes, for me at least, the notion of science so fun, and because it's the simultaneous otherworldliness being out there, but also this human kind of experience. And so I know that, science struggles to capture people's attention in this country. And I wish it didn't, because it's so important. So thank you, astrophysicist Paul Wallace. And thanks, thanks, listeners, to the AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, afternoon repartee. We'll talk to you on Monday.